Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
Hey, folks. Welcome to the Ed Boston podcast today. You see our title, Our Crazy World Just Keeps Getting Crazier. And I tried to start the show a few minutes ago, and I don't even have a clue what went on during that period of time. On my switchboard, it says waiting for the show to start or waiting for the host to call in. I was called in like I normally am. I tried to play a song, nothing played. I called in to hear if I could hear anything, and nothing was there. And so who knows what's going to happen during this episode of the Ed Boston podcast, talking about our crazy world just keeps getting crazier. You know, the Bible tells us that in the end times, right will be wrong and wrong will be right. We talk about that a lot on this show, but this show is dedicated to recent things that just prove the Bible is right when it says that. We've got things that I've actually looked up to see if it was fake news, because I just can't even believe that it's real news. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we start the show. Boy, we need God more now than ever. Not because things are worse than it's ever been, but it's a new day, and we need God more every single day. Father in heaven, we come to you just now thanking you for your awesomeness. We thank you for the word, for your son, Jesus Christ, and the written word, Father, that tells us in the last days, wrong will be right and right will be wrong. And Father, as we look at example after example after example of that in today's show, I just pray that you will be with us, be with those who believe in you, the God of the Bible, that believe in your son, Jesus Christ, that believe there is only one way to make it to heaven, and that is through your son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and with the help of the Holy Spirit that Satan would get behind us as we do this show, and we do it in your name and in your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think what I'll do is I have a song that I really want you to listen to the lyrics of. It's by Muse, and as is most of the time the case with Muse, the beat is very distinctive and it gets your attention, but I want you to pay specific attention to the lyrics of this song. Muse, and this title of the song, I believe it's their most recent release, is called Dig Down. Hope you enjoy.
When hope and love has been lost, and you fall to the ground, you must find a way. When the darkness descends, and you're told it's the end, you must find a way. When God decides to look the other way, and a clown takes the throne. We must find a way, face the firing squad against all the odds. You find a way. Dig down. Dig down. Dig down and find faith. When you're close to the edge, or with a gun to your head, you must find a way. When friends are thin on the ground and they try to divide it, find a way. We have entered the fray, and we will not obey. We must find a way. Yeah. Dig down. Dig down. Dig down. And for dead, and you can only see you must find a way.
By Muse, and talk about faith, and oh wow, I enjoy that song very much. Look it up, it's on YouTube, you can find it there, listen to it, and seems to me that that group right there is looking for answers in some place other than just from the world, because we know that the world's answers to things, well, just keep getting crazier. First story I want to talk to you about today is one that I had to research to see if this really was a story. Because to me, this should have been on a site, something like The Onion, a site that makes things up, that reports things differently than what the truth would be, I guess would be a polite way of saying that. But I found more than one source for this story, and I'm still thinking, surely this story is not real. But let's go with what I found. The headline says, "Shocked Dolly Parton Fights Back After BLM Race Baiter Tries to Shut Down Dixie Stampede." Now, let me give a little bit of background. Amy and I enjoy going to Gatlinburg, which is where almost one after the other you go from the end. Gatlinburg, backwards to Pigeon Forge, backwards to Sevierville. So you get where we're talking about. We're talking about in the South, in Tennessee, the Great Smoky Mountains, Dolly Parton's presence in this area has been huge for years and years and years. And that's kind of the backdrop of this story. In Pigeon Forge, there is a variety type show called Dixie Stampede that Dolly runs, and you know, it's part of the Dolly empire, actually, that's down in that area. I'm sure she would call it something else, but that's, but you know, there's Dollywood and there's Dixie Stampede and there's numerous other shows and different things that she has and lends her name to, and so many different things. So here's the story. Aisha Harris, a Black Lives Matter activist, is out to ruin Dolly Parton for good. The BLM thug has gone to extraordinary lengths to sabotage the country legend's theme parks, saying that as a daughter of the Old South, Parton needs to be shut down. Parton is known as a good person who loves America, but that's just the problem, according to Ms. Harris. Dolly's too American. But the blonde bombshell is fighting back against BLM, proving they picked the wrong Southern belle. Aisha Harris is a contributor to the hardcore liberal rag Slate magazine. From the looks of her social media accounts, she's also a hardcore Black Lives Matter activist who's lost her mind. Harris has been stewing, trying to figure out how to keep the race war going in America. After getting wind of a Dolly Parton dinner theater show called Dixie Stampede, which is a lighthearted take on the rivalry between the North and the South, Harris wrote an article saying, at Dolly Parton's Civil War-themed dinner theater, there's violence on many sides. Harris thought she had struck gold when she learned that the dinner show has two sides, and each guest picks to sit down with the North or the South. Harris was hoping the Southern side would be a bunch of rednecks and white supremacists. When that didn't happen, she was shocked to see African Americans sitting with the South. The only thing she could find to prove Dolly is a racist, harboring white supremacist tendencies, was the placards to the restroom. And no, that's not a joke. Once again, I'll infuse here. I wish everything that I'm talking about today was jokes, but unfortunately they're not. The Northerners' placard was of dark wood, while the Southerners was of light wood. Yep, Harris got Dolly there. Talk about ridiculous. Harris writes about the horrendous moment she discovered this blatant racism, recalling, I did at least have time to run to the bathroom, a necessity after 3.5 hours of sucking down lemonade by the bootful. This seemed like it could be a nice break, but when I got there, I stumbled upon this, Southerners only, on a light-colored placard, and Northerners only on a dark-colored placard. This was, at best, horrifyingly and tone-deaf. Let's be clear here, folks. We have all seen the ruin of people thanks to Black Lives Matter and their racist accusations. Our own president suffers daily at the hands of these attacks. So, yes, Aisha Harris's article is a whistle call to the BLM to go after Dolly with a vengeance. What's next? The burning of every Gone with the Wind book, along with outlawing the Academy Award-winning movie of the same name. I'm going to kind of skim the rest of the article. They make a quote from Dolly about the last act of the Dixie Stampede, when Dolly sums up, we are all Americans, and the finale has patriots wiping away tears. Even NBC featured this finale, in which the song Color Me America is featured, written by Parton, right after 9/11. This song caused Aisha Harris to say, the entertainment was too American. I'll go on. Dolly Parton is a true patriot, and now she is in the BLM's crosshairs, receiving an Academy Award, an Academy of Country Music Award. She used the platform to fight back, saying, "The best way you can help us now is to come back to the Smokies. We're in business." Do you know anything about Dolly Parton? I'm asking you, the listener. I'm even more so asking this race-baiting Aisha Harris. Because if you know anything about Dolly Parton, you would probably say Dolly Parton has no mean bones in her body. She's all about love. We're talking about the lady who started the fund to help the people of Sevier County, there where all of these places that I mentioned earlier are, when they had the horrible forest fire last year. And she didn't gain a penny from any of it. It was all from her generosity, asking people to donate so that they could give, I believe, if my memory serves me right, $1,000 a month for 6 months to people who had lost everything. There was nothing personally for Dolly to gain. She did it because she loves the people there where she is from. If you know Dolly Parton, she speaks out for all different kind of groups of people wanting love to abound. Amy and I had the wonderful privilege of being down there at Dollywood, which is right there in Pigeon Forge, for the red carpet of Christmas of Many Colors. We were an arm's length away from Dolly as she greeted people from the red carpet. And here's how good of a person she is. It's a red carpet for a movie that's on NBC. There's stars all over the place. And she wanted to make sure that her entire extended family, and if my memory serves me right, that there were close to 300 of her extended family that got to go on the red carpet and be part of the festivities. This is the kind of person that we're talking about. And somebody wants to shut her down. You know, no matter how much anybody from any side, and folks, this isn't a Republican-Democrat debate. It's not even a conservative-liberal debate. It's a talk about right and wrong. And whether we like it or not, the Civil War and the happenings of those times are part of America's history. And whether you believe that things were right at that time, or you believe that things were wrong at that time, or if you just read it as the history of our country, it is part of what America is. And there's nothing that people can do to change that history. No matter how many statues get pulled down, no matter how many white supremacists that have rallies, you know, there's plenty of room on both sides of this equation, which would be right and wrong, with plenty of wrong to be done. And I'm not just talking about what happened in Charlottesville, but I've gone on record, I've been on this show of saying many, many times that the wrong that happened in Charlottesville was all about the white supremacists being wrong. I'm not buying into blaming any other group, because I believe that that takes away from the blame that belonged there, And that was with the white supremacists, the Nazis, the skinheads, all of those people. I'm talking now about the aftermath. And why would you go after possibly one of the nicest people in the whole world? I mean, Dolly Parton means something to us on this show. So it's personal, but even at that, she has a history of being a good person. This is not someone that has a long shaded past. We're talking about Dolly Parton, basically America's sweetheart. And if you would go after Dolly Parton, then my question is, who is safe in this country? Who's safe? I don't think any of us are safe. And I know that people are listening to this and say, well, the story you read is obviously from a conservative rag that goes overboard. I could have picked three other places to read this story from. This is just the first one that I found and decided to go with it. But I tell you what, I'm really, 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 really hoping that down the road, I'll find out that I've been duped and all of this is just made up. That's what I hope. I hope that I have to come back and say, and maybe even do a whole show on the fact that somebody got over on me and I did a show about a topic that was all made up. Because that's what this topic makes me think. It's got to be all made up. Please make it be all made up. Please make me do another show. Please make me have to apologize for being shallow and being gullible and easily taken advantage of. Please, please, please tell me that that's what happened to me. But the best that I can tell from the point where we're at right now is that's not the case, and that this is a real story. Moving on to another story that just boggles my mind. You've probably heard about ESPN and them deciding to reassign one of their announcers for a soon-to-be game between the University of Virginia and, I believe, William & Mary. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind is, wow, what a blowout that's going to be. That's a major college against a tiny college. And so that's my first reaction when I hear about that game. But that's not why it's made headline after headline after headline this week. ESPN decided to take the play-by-play announcer that was assigned to that game by the name of Robert Lee and reassign him to another game. Now, remember, I mentioned that the game was between the University of Virginia and William & Mary. And the University of Virginia happens to be in Charlottesville, Virginia. We know what happened in Charlottesville earlier this month. We know that there was a statue of Robert E. Lee that was at the center of the dispute. And so ESPN, which continues to show when they enter into the political fray that they are very, very very far left of center, decided that it was in everybody's best interest for Robert Lee, who, let me just say this and get this in there. I maybe should have said it from the beginning. Robert Lee is an Asian. He is of Asian descent. He's not a white guy. I'm going to guess that there are no indications of Robert Lee being a racist. And when you talk about the Southern general, he's always referred to as Robert E. Lee. I don't know that I've ever heard of a time where Robert E. Lee was referred to just as Robert Lee. It's easy to make a distinction between the two. And for everybody's best interest, they decided to reassign the Asian descent Robert Lee to another game. Now, if that is necessary, then our country is even further along the crazy line than what I think it is. And we're real far down the crazy line. To need to reassign a person of Asian descent by the name of Robert Lee because it is in Charlottesville, Virginia. Everybody I've talked to about this says, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard. We're talking about college football. Now, I did some research. I know that some of you think maybe I never do research, but I pulled up a website. I put in Google, how many Robert Lees are in America, I think is what the search was I put in. And I come up with a site called fastcompany.com. And the headline says this: there are literally thousands of people named Robert Lee. And it starts out talking about the ESPN incident and Robert Lee. But after that, it goes on and it says, in fact, this isn't a big a coincidence as it seems. There are literally thousands of people with that name, Robert Lee. While exact numbers would be tough to calculate, a search on howmanyofme.com, which matches name searches with U.S. Census Bureau data, found that 11,518 people named Robert Lee exist in America. A national search on whitepages.com found similar results. Robert was among the 10 most popular male names in the 70s and 80s, while Lee ranked number 24 among the top surnames. And that was according to the 1990 census. Wikipedia has dozens of pages dedicated to Robert Lees and Bob Lees, including a musician by the name of Robert Lee, who happens to be Bruce's brother. So my point would be at this: if you are one of the over 11,000 people with the name of Robert Lee, are you all racist? Do you have the right and privilege to visit Charlottesville, Virginia? And if you do, will you be attacked because of your name, Robert Lee? Honest, if somebody were to walk up to me later today and say, hi, my name's Robert Lee, I can't imagine the Civil War coming into my mind. I can't imagine Robert E. Lee coming into my mind. It doesn't make sense to me. And you might say, well, ESPN was just thinking of not causing any more controversy, not putting fuel on the fire. Maybe they were thinking of protecting Robert Lee from anything bad happening to him. And I read something about that having part of their reasoning for the move. Why would he be in danger? Who would be upset? And if you are upset because a sports announcer has a name that is similar to somebody you don't like, then how shallow are you? And what would you do if you were walking down the street and you saw a friend and that friend had a person with him or her and said, here, let me introduce you to my friend, Robert Lee. I mean, there's over 11,500 of them here in America. In the last days, wrong will be right and right will be wrong. I even read, again, hoping that this is a made-up story, but I read where people are upset because the horse that is used for USC's mascot, that is a Trojan, the USC Trojans, the horse looks like the horse that is always depicted with Robert E. Lee. And so they want that changed. I don't know where to go with this stuff. Do you understand a ongoing theme about this? The theme being that you kind of grab your head and say, oh, surely that's a made up story. I mean, we live in an era where false news is prevalent. So it's not like false news doesn't ever take place. And that being from both sides. And so you want to just think, if you're an everyday thinking person like I am, that story's got to be made up. It's just got to be. And the more I dig and the more I find, these stories aren't made up. I'll go on record here again saying, I hope that down the line, I have to have a show retracting all of these different things. I hope that that's the case. But I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be. I want to play. I've got a couple of these. I'll play them separately, not back to back. Mark Dice is somebody that we really enjoy here at the Ed Boston Podcast. He is a political analyst. He's just a fun guy that is very conservative, fights for the conservative cause. And let's just listen to something that he put out this week.
I'll play the clip in just a moment. CNN's Don Lemonhead, best known for getting drunk and babbling about how he wants a boyfriend during CNN's live New Year's Eve coverage last year, came completely unhinged last night after President Trump's speech in Phoenix, where he absolutely devastated the fake news industrial complex. While there was a teleprompter there, it sounded like President Trump decided to go completely off script and didn't even use it for 2 seconds. And it was awesome, wasn't it, Mr. Lemonhead?
His speech was without thought. It was without reason. It was devoid of facts. It was devoid of wisdom. There was no gravitas. There was no sanity there. He was like a child blaming a sibling on something else.
Oh.
He did it. I didn't do it.
Yes. Tell us
He
more.
Certainly opened up the race wound from Charlottesville, a man clearly wounded by the rational people who are abandoning him in droves, meaning those business people.
Wait a minute. Speaking of someone who's wounded, it looks like you're about to break down into tears, just like your coworker Van Jones did last week.
I usually have something clever, something smart. I'm just hurt. I'm sitting here hurt, and I think a lot of people are hurt tonight.
Please share some more of your divine wisdom with us, Mr. All-Knowing CNN host. Don. Don.
That's the truth. If you watch that speech as an American, you had to be thinking.
You had to be thinking. That was one of the greatest speeches of all time.
And tonight, this entire arena stands united in forceful condemnation of the thugs who perpetrate hatred and violence.
That sounds like racist code words to me. That's a racist dog whistle to the KKK. That's what I saw it on CNN.
But the very dishonest media, those people right up there with all the cameras.
Okay, let's check back in with CNN. We know how Don Lemon feels about this, but let's see what one of his panelists has to say.
Well, I thought that was a president totally unhinged. There's little doubt about that for anyone watching. I do think you get at a point. This is the evidence that backs up Bob Corker questioning his stability for office. This is the evidence as to why Susan Collins, another Republican senator, isn't so sure he may be around to run for re-election in 2020. This is evidence.
Whoa, slow down there, buddy. Talk about getting unhinged. I don't think that your heart can handle this kind of stress. Just settle down. Since CNN is the most trusted name in news, it always provides both sides of the story. Let's check in with a different panelist to get a different perspective.
This was a Castro-esque speech in length. It was an astounding chain of lies tied together by lunatic asides by a man who obviously is mentally unstable. I mean, I'm not joking about it or being a smartass. This is a man who is not well. This is a man who is not qualified or mentally or morally fit to be the president of the United States. And tonight was one more proof of it.
Okay, then. Well, let's go back to Don Lemon and see if he's finally calmed down yet, and maybe he can provide us with some rational analysis.
He is clearly trying to ignite a civil war in this country. Mm-hmm. He has not tamped down race. And I'm just going to say, I mean, if he was on my team in this newsroom and said those things, he would be escorted out of the building by security.
Yeah.
And
Security! Security! Donald Trump's calling us fake news! Let's check in with MSNBC and see if things are going any better over there.
He is telling his audience that the media lies about him. The president just quoted his remarks on Saturday after Charlottesville, and he falsely quoted his remarks. He said on that Saturday, "We condemn in the strongest, most possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides."
Yes.
On many sides. He repeated that twice.
Yes.
He did not include that just now in his quoting of himself to this audience. He is lying to this audience.
Wait a minute, Lawrence. He said both sides were causing problems in Charlottesville, and you got upset about that, and now you're getting upset because he didn't say that both sides are causing problems? I'm just not following you. I'm sorry. Well, Don, are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave us with today?
History is watching right now.
Yes.
History will bear witness to this?
Through your fake news.
Do you pretend that what's in front of your eyes is not happening?
No, we're exposing you every
day. Do you enable someone like you enable an addict by pretending it's not happening?
Do we enable a fake news network by still watching it? I certainly hope not. I'm Mark Dice. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to my channel here if you're new. Check back every day for new reports. Check the link in the description below for my new online store where you can get some cool stuff like my Liberalism Find a Cure shirt or even a Liberal Tears coffee mug. Your purchase helps continue to keep this channel going. So thanks for your support. Stay tuned, and I'll see you tomorrow.
What do I add other than our world, our crazy world, just keeps getting crazier? You see, that piece to me is not about whether you like Donald Trump or you don't like Donald Trump, even though that was a prevalent theme during that. To me, it's about people who will say just about anything in order to get their point across on who it is they hate. CNNs of the world, the MSNBCs of the world, no doubt hate Donald Trump. I would take Dice's side on this because we think the same politically. But why is it now okay to bear false witness against your neighbor and that be okay? I mean, I guess you can have an opinion and you don't need facts to back your opinion. But is it okay to say whatever it is you want to say about somebody because it's your opinion of them and just say whatever you want to say? And this is leading up to a Facebook post that I made that took an interesting turn in the comment section. And well, let's just go there. And you'll see maybe what it is that I'm talking about. I posted a picture of an American hero, an American patriot, that was a meme that had reference to Colin Kaepernick and his taking a knee during the national anthem during last year's NFL season. It has been very, very prevalent in the news recently because many, many others this year in the preseason for the NFL have decided that they would take up the cause. Of course, Kaepernick can't do that at this point because nobody will hire him. And that's a side note there that we could go into at another time. But the picture is of Pat Tillman. Now, the story behind Pat Tillman is that he played for the Arizona Cardinals NFL football team and decided that he would give up his career making big, big, big bucks and enlisted in the military. And not only that, was killed in action several years ago. So the meme says this: dear NFL players, comma, Pat Tillman, who the picture of has a flag in the background with the St. Louis Cardinal football emblem, even in the background behind that. And in the foreground is a picture of Tillman in his military uniform on one side and a picture of him in his football uniform on the other. And the rest of the meme says, Pat Tillman is the only reason you should need to stand for the national anthem. Now, I knew that that would be a little bit controversial. I know that there are people out there that defend Kaepernick's right to kneel. I know that the NFL commissioner defends his right to kneel. And so the very first comment that comes on my post says this: wrong. You should read about what really happened to him, as if I don't know what happened to Pat Tillman. And I'll go ahead and say on here what happened to Pat Tillman. Pat Tillman was killed in action by friendly fire. Unintentional, unfortunate, but that happens in war. So my response to this person was, I know all about what happened to him, and he is still an American hero who gave up his millions of dollars to fight and die for his country and for the rights of those who take a knee. What happened in his death is an unfortunate reality of war. So, obviously, the person who is a Facebook friend of mine, because of something that we have in common that we both like and would both be on the same side of the equation on, doesn't know me well enough to know that I certainly know about Pat Tillman. I certainly know about what happened. And to say wrong, well, let's just say this. I don't go onto other people's Facebook pages and tell them that they are wrong, even when I believe 100% that they are wrong about a topic. So that's the first comment. And I'm trying to get up this next part because it's long. And I'm having, let me refresh that link. And say this, see if it helped me out here. There it is. The next person says, are you suggesting that NFL players have no right to take a knee during the national anthem? And once again, I'll leave the name off. And I said to this person, who I've known since he was a young child, he's about the age of my two older kids, the Bible tells us that just because things are legal, that it doesn't mean they are beneficial. Just like the idiot skinheads legally have the right to gather, it definitely isn't beneficial, and I neither support kneeling during the anthem nor the rights of white supremacists. His reply back was, right, but we're talking about their reasoning. If you want to get biblical, we can, but that's a whole different thing. And I said, actually, no need to go any farther. I don't support either group. And if it's okay for one, then it has to be okay for the other. You can't legislate reasoning. He says back to me, taking a knee during an anthem to a country that you have issue with is fair and a just protest. They aren't acting violently. They're expressing their beliefs in a public manner and rather respectfully at that. No calling out hateful slogans or screaming at people, just a simple act. To dismiss it because someone else died for their country is degrading both to the view of the people taking a knee and degrading the life lost in defending their right to take a knee. There's something wrong with our country. It's sick. Maybe taking a knee is one of the steps to getting better. My reply, you're entitled to your opinion. I just disagree. Ask people who have served in the military if taking a knee is respectful, and I guarantee you that most will feel disrespected. I'd like to break down your disagreement a little better, understand your belief. I'm not trying to come off as a jerk. Do you agree with me that there is something wrong with the country? And I know several people who served who would agree that taking a knee is respectful. I said, I've got lots of issues with lots of problems. However, I don't believe that entitles me to be disrespectful. And by the way, I have been very outspoken against the white supremacists and the people who blamed both sides in Charlottesville. He says, I'm not saying you haven't been outspoken. I was just asking if you saw the same things I did. Again, I'm not trying to be a jerk or come off that way. I'm curious about your view. It's different from mine. So what is a good method for a football player to take a protest? Ed says, I believe that he has made his point in the protest, and continuing on just rubs salt in the wounds to those who are offended. He has the media, causes and organizations he can support and not be offensive to those who feel that being disrespectful to our country is wrong. Again, just trying to understand your views. If he wore an armband while playing that represented his protest, would that be okay? I reply, an armband would not be disrespecting our country, in my opinion. Okay, I've talked with others that have a problem with a football player protesting at all because they're not supposed to be political. You just have an issue with kneeling because of the disrespect you see for the U.S. I can understand that. I don't agree with it, but I understand it. I think that it's a football player's duty to be a role model for younger generations, to stand up for what they believe in. I think you and I just differ on what's appropriate. This is what Facebook's debate should be like, discourse, not crap slinging. Thank you. Okay. So we had a nice discussion, I guess. It certainly didn't down into name calling and things like that. But I guess here is my question about the whole thing. Everybody and their brother get offended in America today. And I could name you group after group after group of people who get offended about their own cause in life. And you can imagine who I'm talking about. It doesn't necessarily run along political lines or anything. People in general get their feelings hurt all the time. So my question is, for those of us who believe that those that take a knee, those that raise their fist during the national anthem, why are we not allowed to be offended and feel disrespected in our thoughts and beliefs? I promise you that if you go and grab people that you don't know that served in the military, that there will be a majority, and maybe even a fairly large majority, that feels that doing anything that disrespects our flag, that disrespects our national anthem, is in fact offensive and disrespectful to those who have served. I also can almost guarantee that every one of those would say that the reason they served was to defend people's right to do things, even if it's offensive. That doesn't make it not offensive. Are you following where I'm going here? I guess my question now would be, why don't they wait until after the game is over, when they're not playing the national anthem, and go take a knee underneath the goalpost or whatever to where they could get attention, and do it then? They don't do it then because they know that they will get attention by doing it during the national anthem. Thus, it's the attention that they are after. And thus, we come to what the real issue is, that they believe that their right to get attention is more important than my right to be offended. And I say that our rights are equal. I have a right to be offended. And so there we have another instance of our crazy world just continuing to get crazier. Because this issue isn't going away, and it will continue to be another of the many, many, many things that divides our country. And folks, if you don't believe that we are divided, then you definitely have had your head in the sand for a while. Let's see. Where's my switchboard? Want to play a trailer for an upcoming movie that we've been supporting called A Question of Faith. Let's listen to the official trailer.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
About texting and driving. She's fighting for her life. Eric has suffered a traumatic brain injury.
I'm remanding you to the juvenile detention center.
I promise that I will do everything I can to save Michelle.
The only thing me and Teresa have been doing is trusting in the Lord, and look where it's gotten us.
I don't want your promises. I want a second opinion, and that's exactly what I intend on getting.
God has now, and he's going to get us through this.
You
no,
want
we do not need another doctor.
You, of all people, know we can't question his work.
David were men of God. We made a commitment to choose a path. He chose for us, not the one we want to choose.
All of the answers to our suffering can be found right there.
I was so angry with God, I ran away from him. But not today.
Would I ask that you send us a blessing?
I am going to run toward God. And I ask all in this house to run with me.
All right. Well, we'll continue to promote that movie coming out, A Question of Faith. And watch and listen for more things in the future from us here at the Ed Boston Podcast. So we're talking today about our crazy world just keeps getting crazier. And I'm going to jump around a little bit from where I had intended and go to a story about the World Wrestling Federation. Now, you might say that the topic of wrestling in itself is crazy, and so what's even crazier about the World Wrestling Federation, and this isn't about wrestling storylines, or it's not about who hates who in the wrestling world and whether or not wrestling is fake or not fake, or it's not about any of that. It's about the WWE as a company and something that they did recently that just makes me scratch my head and say, why? And what does this mean for the future? The WWE successfully trademarked the term 316 in July for city-specific merchandise use. Now, I'm not sure why it is city-specific, because I'm not sure that even using the term in the way it is used with former WWE superstar, WWE Hall of Famer, Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't know what city-specific has to do with anything. While 316 references John 316 from the Bible, it is known in wrestling cliches as Stone Cold Steve Austin's signature catchphrase. The plain black Austin 316 shirt is the best-selling WWE shirt of all time. And the phrase was born after Austin defeated Jake the Snake Roberts, who was doing a religious gimmick at the time, at the 1996 King of the Ring pay-per-view. And then it goes on to say the lines that Austin used to make that his catchphrase. Now, we just said the 1996 King of the Ring pay-per-view. So let's see, my addition works right. 96, 06, 16, 21 years that they've been using that and didn't see the need to trademark it. And now it is trademarked. Not John 316, but just three colon 16 in the format that you would use when referencing a Bible scripture. Again, my first question is why? Why is that necessary? They've used it for 21 years and it was never necessary. So why now, in July of 2017, is that necessary? And even further than that, where does that go for the future? If somebody decides that they want to have a t-shirt made that says John 3:16, and then below it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is that going to be not allowed? Unallowed. Not allowed, because the 3:16 part has been trademarked by the WWE. And my computer keeps telling me that it is running low. And so I'll see if I can get it plugged in and get that tear up. Just what are the what ifs behind this? What does the WWE gain from spending this money to trademark 316? And so Well, we just continue to add to the list of our crazy world just keeps getting crazier. A kindergarten class is gaining a spot on this list. You may remember that last week we talked, and it may have been in my sermon, about an issue in Great Britain where there was a problem with elementary school age children being addicted to porn. That certainly goes on the list today, but we'd already mentioned that, so I really didn't put it on there. But today, under a heading of transgender discussions in kindergarten, a teacher defended her actions to read two children's books about transgenderism, including one titled I Am Jazz. She says the books were given to her by a transgender child going through a transition. The kindergartners came home very confused about whether or not you can pick your gender, whether or not they really were a boy or girl. Parents say beside the books, the transgender student at some point during class also changed clothes and was revealed as her true gender. And many parents say they feel betrayed and blindsided. Wow. Let's say you're on the opposite side I am about the topic of being transgender. Do you really think that it is necessary to indoctrinate 5-year-olds? I have an opinion that I promise you will be different than those who think that that's okay and that it's necessary. Amy and I have a couple of 5-year-old granddaughters who are both in kindergarten this year. And in Indiana, we've already been in school for close to a month now, not quite a month. And so they're just starting their school careers. Two little kindergarten girls. I can't imagine the confusion that would be in their minds about this topic. And I can't believe for a second that they would understand what was really going on if one of their classmates came out. They would probably think, I don't know, something simple like, that person's playing dress up. How in the world do you get that it's beneficial to discuss this stuff with 5-year-olds. I'll be 55 next week, and I don't understand it. So how could a 5-year-old understand this? And thus you see, in this case, not just craziness, but the insanity of what this story is all about. Now, this hasn't been a show where I need to scream, I need to yell, I need to feel so passionate. This is just kind of a set down talk atmosphere today. And (laughs) And if you could see me now, I've got my hand with my head in my hand, looking down and shaking my head. And we're not even done. We're not even done. We've got another Mark Dice segment to listen to. After that, we'll come back and I'll talk about a topic that that is just plain sad when it comes to these kind of things. Listen to Dice once again here on the Ed Boston Podcast.
I'll play the clip in just a moment. The clowns over at the Counterfeit News Network, CNN, are still hung up on President Trump blaming both sides for the violence in Charlottesville that happened now almost 2 weeks ago. And since nobody believes anything that their anchors or their reporters say, it looks like now they've assembled a panel of average American citizens to tell us how terrible President Trump is and how awful his reaction was to that tragedy.
How many of you, show of hands, were troubled by the president's response to the violence in Charlottesville?
He's laughing.
None of you minded how President Trump responded.
No. Look at how disappointed she is. None of you. It'd be bad enough if none of them just raised their hands. But this guy started laughing at her.
None of you minded how President Trump responded.
No. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I mean, he addressed the problem. I mean, let's face the reality. There are problems on both sides.
Both sides. White supremacists. KKK member right there. I'm Anderson Cooper. We have some breaking news tonight. CNN has obtained this exclusive footage of this panelist at a barbecue in his backyard just last week. Of course. What else should we expect when someone blames both sides for the violence in Charlottesville? That's total BS, Anderson, and you know it. But what else should we expect when we tune into CNN? Now let's go back to analyzing this panel.
The Antifa group, to me, is totally a very Stalinish kind of group.
How so?
If you're willing to set fires and burn places to the ground, that doesn't sound like a very peaceful group to me.
But they didn't.
They're both the same evil.
How dare you, Mr. Average American, call Antifa a hateful and violent group? CNN, the most trusted name in news, has been covering this peaceful and loving organization for about 2 weeks now. Let's check in with Georgetown University sociology professor Michael Eric Dyson for the truth about Antifa. Michael?
The people that we claim, Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, and so on, are interested in preserving the fabric of America.
See, we got it all wrong, guys. Antifa isn't a hateful, violent terrorist organization. They're peace-loving patriots trying to preserve and save America. Let's hear from the black woman now, because the mainstream media has taught us that President Trump is a white supremacist-supporting neo-Nazi KKK member, and that all black people know this secret truth.
I blame the government.
Why do you blame the governor or the government for a white supremacist mowing down a crowd of people and killing someone?
Because they didn't protect the people that day.
Whoops, that's 0 for 2, CNN. Quick, let's go to another panelist. One of these people has to turn on the president.
They came there to do battle with them. They showed up with helmets, body armor, clubs. They showed up with balloons filled with urine.
Yeah, they didn't throw up in the local.
Oh, quick, interrupt him. He's making too much sense, Allison. Cut him off. Okay, let's go to the pretty girl. Maybe she'll say something stupid.
I think we're moving kind of further away from the point of what this conversation should be. What happened that day was a tragedy, and it should never have happened to begin with. No one here is supporting.
I wanted to cut that off right there because, to me, this discussion is not about right and wrong at Charlottesville. I've gone on record and I continue to go on record and say the white supremacists were wrong in Charlottesville. I've not gone on to say that both sides were wrong, and I've done that for a reason. Not because I don't believe that there was issues on both sides, but because if I go on record and say, well, both sides were wrong, then it takes away, in my opinion, from the fact that the white supremacists were wrong. And I don't want to do that in the least. I want to continue with the belief and with the opinion that Charlottesville was all about the white supremacists being wrong, because they were wrong. Period. And I don't want to add the but part that we were just hearing. What I look at in that topic was what the girl just said, that the problem is much bigger than Charlottesville. It's much bigger than the debate about the Civil War and Civil War generals and all of that. It's about the fact that people are not just willing to take to the streets, because I'm okay with that. Done peacefully and properly, you are 100% covered by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. That's my opinion, and I believe that I'm correct on that. However, I think that what that girl was talking about and what is the real issue is the number of people who take to the streets in the wrong fashion and are willing to do things like stop traffic by blocking intersections and blocking highways and things like that. People who are willing to burn buildings, people who are willing to disobey the laws of the land. And that, to me, is an issue, the issue. I don't care what side you're on. If you want to go and you want to plan a rally, or in my opinion, even have a spontaneous rally that doesn't interfere the lives of other people being able to do what they are legally given to do, then go for it. I've seen Code Pink in action many times. And as deplorable as they are, they have a right to do what they do. If they do it peacefully and properly. But we are at a stage in life now, whether it be in Europe, whether it be in the United States, wherever it may be, that people believe that they have the right to do things that they don't have the right to do. And we're not talking about race. And I know that there are plenty of people who would say, oh, this is all about race. You're a racist when you say this stuff. You can call me anything you want to. But I'm telling you that when you see protests that have to do with immigration and immigration issues in Europe, we're not talking the race issue. We have a problem, and I continue to remind people, I continue to remind people that are close to me, that we have a sin problem here in America. If you take a peaceful protest and burn somebody's business down during that protest, you sinned. And that's not being judgmental. That's just common everyday sense. You sinned and you committed a crime. And you should be held responsible for all of the actions that you take. It's real simple. Whether you're on the side of Republicans or Democrats, conservatives or liberals, the North and the South, wherever you stand, you need to first be on the side of what's right and what's wrong, and be on the side of what's right. And not necessarily what is right in your eyes. The in general side of what's right, and let's just take it where it should, in the eyes of the Lord. It got real quiet, didn't it? Right and wrong. And in the last days, wrong will be right and right will be wrong. I'm going to close with this story here. And it pains me greatly to even talk about this story. And I've debated with myself on whether or not we would actually even go there, because the person that this story is about is a friend of our podcast. And we care about her. We love her. We support her. And it pains us that this little 13-year-old girl would have this issue. I'm talking about a contestant on America's Got Talent by the name of Evie Claire. Evie is a singer, a musician. She plays the piano. And she is quite good at what she does. Evie also has a very real story that she's dealing with in her life that includes the fact that her father, who is also a friend of the show and we've interviewed, has been living with stage 4 colon cancer for quite a while now. And Evie has some critics. And apparently it is a fair amount of critics that believe that the only reason that Evie is still on America's Got Talent is because people feel sorry for her and the story that she's going through, the life that she's lived right now, that includes the fact that her father has to battle daily, every minute, with the fact that stage 4 cancer is involved. I want to read an article. I'm going to read the entire article that our good friend Trevor Decker put up on his site this last week. Well, let me just let the article explain it. The headline says, Evie Claire saved by America's vote on last night's America's Got Talent. Evie Claire had to rely on America's vote in the Duncan Save Tuesday night after she ended up in the bottom. The Arizona teen, who has shared her family's heartbreaking story throughout her journey on AGT, looked nervous as she asked her dedicated fans to help her move on to the semifinals. Evie once again brought viewers to tears with her emotional cover of Wings by Birdie. Playing the piano for the first time this season, surrounded by candles, Evie's father, Amos, well, I skipped a period in there, playing the piano for the first time this season, surrounded by candles. Period. Evie's father, Amos, was too ill to attend the live shows this week, but he talked with Evie on the phone following her performance. Season 12 of America's Got Talent has so many talented contestants who all deserve to be there, but to many viewers, Evie and her family's story is so relatable and hits home in a special way. All of us know a family member or a friend who has had or does have cancer. It's the most evil word in the world, and what these families endure throughout the process is heartbreaking. We are proud of Evie and the example and faith and courage they continue to show. And now this. To the critics, we say this. Shame on anyone who may think that what Evie and her family are going through is simply a sob story. How would you like it if it was being said about your own family? Evie is going forward on AGT because of her heart and pure talent. The judges see it, and so many viewers see it. We continue to pray for the family and are cheering you on, Evie. Now, the issue here isn't whether or not people have the right to what they believe in this issue. And Evie is not the first person to be accused of advancing on shows such as this because of the sympathy vote. And she probably won't be the last. Where I believe the problem is to take that criticism to a point of where you try to hurt a 13-year-old. Because from my understanding is that there are groups out there that are actively promoting having Evie voted off the show because of the sympathy factor. This girl is 13 years old. Her daddy is fighting a disease that few people ever win. And you want to attack her in a public way. You know, they say that opinions are like a certain part of your body. Everyone has one. But sometimes it's best just to keep your opinions to yourself. It wouldn't be okay if Evie was 23 or 43 or 103 to attack her in this manner. So it's not got to do just with the fact that she's 13. But let me just say this, she's 13 and living with something that is going to be a profound effect on the rest of her life. And you want to get worked up over the results of a television show. Well, you seem to get worked up over the results of the television show. You talk about it on a regular basis. It's been a big part of your show for the last few weeks. Of course it has. In the positive sense, Evie shows her faith in God on a very regular basis as she deals with this topic and as she deals with going through the different stages of America's Got Talent. See, this week alone would have been stressful for her just because that she was either in sixth, seventh, or eighth place and had to compete not just in the first round of voting that put her there, but a second round of voting that would say that one of those three people get to advance. And for Evie's fans, we are happy that she won that vote and that she's advancing to the semifinals. That's stress in and of itself for a for anybody. But again, she's 13 years old. Well, your response might be, if she can't take the heat, then she shouldn't have got in the contest. Okay, let's say that's fair. She's 13 years old. And that is stressful enough. And then you add on the fact that there's a group of people out there that want to see her voted off because they don't like the fact that she might get a sympathy vote. The bottom line in these shows, it's talent that gets you through. The judges on this show have been doing it for a long time, and they know talent from people who are not so talented. And they're past the point in this show that if sympathy helped someone, that it would, the sympathy vote can only get you so far, is what I'm trying to make the point of. And it's Trevor's opinion by what he wrote. It's our opinion here that Evie is advancing because of the talent she had. When you hear the judges talk about her, and they do reference the fact of what she's going through because it's part of life. Everybody has their own story. And it is part of what she is going through, but the integrity of the show is about the title, America Got Talent. And it's not America Has the Best Sob Story. It's not called America's Most Sympathetic Events. If Evie Claire continues to advance, if Evie Claire happens to win, it's because she has talent. America's Got Talent. The winner has talent. And if you insert Evie in there, you would say Evie's got talent. It just is. And you can put an asterisk out to the end, not that it belongs, but Evie's got talent. And let's put a hashtag and not an asterisk. Evie's got talent, and she's living through a horrible ordeal at the same time. And she's holding up amazing for a 13-year-old girl. She's holding up amazing for a human being, period. We'll have Evie back on the show again real soon. And we won't talk with Evie about this because she doesn't deserve to have to answer those critics. We'll talk to her about America's Got Talent. We'll talk to her about having to go through winning the Duncan save. We'll talk to her about those things because those are legitimate topics. But we're not going to dignify those critics out there directly to Evie because she doesn't deserve that. And again, I told you at the beginning of this part that I debated on whether or not to even talk about it. I know that Trevor debated about whether or not to include that in his story. It's not something that we like to talk about. We don't interview people to get the scoop in a negative way. I never, and I believe that never is the right word. I don't think I have ever tried to get somebody during an interview. That's just not what we do. That's not what we're about. Those things happen other places, and you can have your opinion on whether it's good or not good, whether or not that's what you want to see or don't want to see. That's not what we're all about, and we're never going to be what that's all about. And I hope that I have the sense that if I ever get to that point, that I just hang up the microphone, because that has nothing to do with doing the right thing. America's Got Talent is Evie's second family right now. You can watch the backstage scenes and things that go on, and the things that people post on Twitter and the things that people post on Facebook. Not the onstage things, but the extracurriculars, so to speak, and see that Evie is leaning on her America's Got Talent family during this difficult time. And so I would ask, why doesn't that make you happy? What kind of a person are you that would go to the point of put down a 13-year-old girl that's going through what she's going through? And I don't care if you say that's not what you're all about and that's not what you're doing. I would say you're just trying to justify your behavior. And to me, that behavior is not justifiable. This show has been about case after case after case of crazy things that go on, and the world just getting crazier all the time. I'm fed up with the way things are. Seriously, I am fed up with so much of what makes our world what it is today. I'm tired. And I guess what helps me make it through is the fact that there's hope in this world. Even through all of this craziness, there's hope in this world because there's hope in Jesus Christ. And God's word tells us things are not going to get better, that they will more than likely get worse during our lifetime, whether we're in the end times or not the end times. And boy, we are seeing that take place right in front of our eyes. And in a case where I think that you ought to want to put your arms around a pretty little girl and give her a hug and say, everything's going to be all right, that you would rather publicly put her down. Now you see why I'm tired. I can only hope that our hope in Jesus overcomes the evil that is this world today. Father, I thank you for the time we've had to spend in our show today. And I think it's important, Father, that as followers of your son Jesus, that we speak out against the crazy things of this world. And in many, many of the cases, the evil of this world. Father, I pray for our country and the leaders. I pray for our churches in this country to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not fluff and not soft, but the truth. I pray that good overcomes evil. And we know that in the end, it overcomes evil. But before that, there are so many times where the evil of this world is what gets people's attention. Father, forgive us for we have sinned. Help us to do better, to repent and turn away from the evil ways that are such a plague on us today. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to do this show. And thank you, Father, for the love that you have even for those that are perpetrating the evil in this life. That it is your will for them to give up the evil ways and turn to Jesus. And we pray for that, Father. And we pray all of this in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Folks, be looking for the Evie Claire interview real soon. Look for the Sunday sermon. Look for our Monday entertainment segments that will be its own separate show for a while. And go out and do the right thing. Please. God bless.
Introducing the amazing iPhone XS you'll love on T-Mobile, the most loved in wireless. It's the perfect way to stay connected to those you heart most. Fall in love with iPhone XS on T-Mobile. And right now, trade in an eligible iPhone and you'll save $300. Visit a store or call 1-800-T-MOBILE.
If you cancel service, remaining balance is due. Qualifying service and finance agreements required. $279.99 down plus 30 per month times 24. Full price $999.99. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers plus tax on full price. Allow 8 weeks for rebate.
I don't mean to be so uptight, but my heart's been hurt a couple times by a couple guys that didn't treat me right. I ain't gonna lie, I ain't gonna lie.
Alexa, play Meant to Be.
Okay.
If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. If it's meant to be, it'll be.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.